Martin Van Buren became president in 1837, largely because Andrew Jackson was retiring, and Jackson wanted to reward his vice president's strong personal loyalty. Such was Van Buren's style. As a professional politician, he succeeded over and over again by aligning himself with those in power and then riding their coattails. The little magician, as he was called, was nothing if not shrewd, and he probably could have danced his way through a term or two had it not been for the Panic of 1837. Van Buren hadn't started the crash, and no president could have done much to moderate its effects, but that didn't stop people from blaming Martin Van Ruin for their troubles. Actually, Van Buren responded well to the crisis, quickly focusing on a principal cause and proposing an effective solution. The problem was that Jackson had irresponsibly replaced the National Bank with a patchwork of so-called pet banks, many of which failed, taking federal funds with them. To shore up the country's banking system, Van Buren proposed creating a network of sub-treasuries that could hold federal funds safely. But the Whigs in Congress blocked the bill until 1840, by which time Van Buren was already on his way out. In 1848, the former Democrat ran again for president as the candidate of the anti-slavery Free Soil Party. The campaign displayed both Van Buren's compulsive partisanship and the little good that any of his angle playing did him. His presence in the race was significant, pulling enough votes away from the Democrats in New York to swing the state to Zachary Taylor. And in the end, New York's 36 electoral votes gave Taylor his victory. But for all Van Buren's effort, he accomplished almost nothing. He took victory away from the Democrats, who had repudiated his policies, and gave it instead to the Whigs, who had always opposed them.